Yo, 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 gang. What is going on? Happy Monday here. We apologize for the one day delay in production, but we're watching the best weekend in sports of the year, that first weekend of March Madness. We are down to 16 teams. We saw some upsets, we saw some chaos, and we saw a lot of basketball. And we saw a lot of idiots as well. But yeah, it's the most fun weekend in sports, in my opinion. And we made it through. We're down to 16. Give you some bad beats of the week, some idiots of the week, and go from there. So the way I want to start this episode off, though, before we get into our games of the weekend and give a good recap, is I want to mention that there are levels to this shit in college basketball. There is UConn. There is Purdue. You could probably put Houston in there. Collapse last night or the other night, whatever you want to say, but there are levels to this shit and there are teams that are better than the rest, and UConn Purdue showed it this weekend, and that is that, period. I don't see anyone competing with them. But yeah, all right, I am joined here through my best friends. We've got Mr. Fundamental, Mike Erickson. We've got the generational hater, Matthew Stern. And he is certainly, certainly, certainly going to do some hating today because it's in his blood. And last but not least, we got the mid-major guru, Zach Reynolds. The name's not very fitting because we're down to one mid-major. But SDSU holding strong. But yeah, crazy weekend. A lot of fun games. Mike, I'll send it over to you first. Let me hear your game of the weekend.
I'll go Duke. Absolutely clapping JMU. JMU looked great first game. Duke had looked bad coming into the tournament, and they could not have possibly looked better, scored better, shot better. It was a disaster for JMU.
Yeah. Stern, over to you.
I'm going to go to Friday afternoon. To Colorado, Florida, where you saw Colorado, who does not believe in the word defense, and as good as they are at shooting, they are equally as bad at playing defense, and giving up 100 points in a college basketball game is pathetic, and Tony Bennett would be rolling in his grave. But yeah, no, I mean, you saw Colorado jump out to a little bit of a lead. Late in the game, I believe they were up 94-84 with 4 minutes left. And then you saw, as college kids do, they've never seen a press in their life, and Walter Clayton went off, and he ended up hitting a three with about 11 seconds left. And then you saw KJ Simpson do his best Kawhi Leonard impression. Ball bounced around the rim a couple of times, gave Mike some PTSD for a second if he was out of the library able to watch that game. Yeah. And Colorado literally moved on.
Yeah, I was literally saying that was the Kawhi shot. It was literally just bounce, bounce, bounce. It's the same thing.
Yeah, except, you know, they just didn't play any defense against Marquette and paid for it. They brought it back, but they just didn't get enough stops when it mattered.
Nope. Zach, game of the weekend.
Yeah, I think there's a couple, but I'm going to go with Creighton and Oregon. I think Colorado, Florida was another big one, and also shout out to Chicago State beating UCSD. They did lose today, but they did get a postseason win. Those boys are good. Anyway, Creighton and Oregon, I think you got to see an absolute show from Nfali Dante, who should be a fan favorite if he's not. Like, great kid, donates all of his NIL money back home to Molly. Awesome kid. Cousinard was unreal in two games in the tournament and continued to be unreal. Basically, with Dante, manned his team to double overtime against a really good Creighton team. Oregon did implode at the end there. They had the ball with 30 seconds left up four and ended up losing. Dana Altman, not sure why Dante is on the court when you're inbounding up two with, you know, whatever it was, 15 seconds left. Not sure why he's there. Baylor Shireman had a huge shot to save Greg McDermott's ass. And then Trey Alexander had a chance to hit the shot. We've seen him make 100 times, Mike. I'm sure You've also some PTSD saying Trey Alexander take a game winning shot. But then creating double overtime sort of pulled away. And I think the big thing about this game is the better team won. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm more excited to see Creighton and Tennessee than I would be Oregon and Tennessee. That's a nice thing. We still got a good game out of it. Greg McDermott, his out of bounds plays and play calling on offense in the second half was great.
Incredible.
His defensive play calling was horrendous, not figuring out that they had two guys that could beat them. Sucked to see Shelstad go down, but again, good that Oregon didn't win because we don't have to watch the play with two guys. And then in the second overtime, he seemed to figure out, at the end of the first, really, he seemed to figure out how to just heavy double Cousinard on that pick and roll that they were running and figured out a way to win. So,
Yeah, but
shout out to McDermott.
you want to know why Dante was on the court there? It's because two fucking people scored an entire half and multiple overtimes. I've never seen that in my life.
For context, for anybody that didn't watch the game, Oregon scored 73 points, and Cousinard and Dante scored 60 out of the 73 points.
And they were zero in the entire second half scored by
And
anybody.
overtime. Zero in the entire
I
second half and both overtimes.
think someone else scored in the second overtime.
Second overtime, right. But
I
no one
think.
scored for a half of basketball and an overtime period, which is 25 minutes of basketball, besides two people.
Maybe in the first overtime. I thought someone else scored.
Nope. I'm looking at it
Yes,
right now.
JJ and Tracy tipped
Ah,
the ball in
you're
the
right.
first overtime.
Congratulations.
One guy
Thousands.
scored 2 points
I'm a tip back.
in 30 minutes of basketball.
Fucking ridiculous. And they almost won,
It
but
took
the crazier part.
Ramon Walker 4 minutes of less, 2 minutes of game time to get a put
Took
back on
Ryan
offense.
Elvin 32 seconds, but we'll get into
Well,
that later.
good thing they were playing Wade Taylor, who might have a lower IQ than
Yeah.
fucking anybody on the Arizona State basketball
Hold
team. And I
on.
didn't think there was anybody with a lower IQ than that.
He looked like me playing intramural basketball when there was a formal option only
Fucking
me like the sophomores
fucking
could get.
so stupid. Oh
We'll
my.
get there, don't worry. But to close out game of the weekends, lots of ways you could have taken this. But Oakland, Kentucky. Definitely a little biased because I'll say it. I took Oakland in the bracket. Watched their Horizon League game. I was like, maybe they could do something. Went out, beat Kentucky. The Jack Gehlke show is in full effect. 10-3 is, it was an awesome performance. He came out and was just bang, 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 and made him. Oakland shut down all of the players that are first round picks. And Jack Gehlke should be a pro, even though he says he shouldn't. Give me a little Steve Novak action. And yeah,
10
that.
threes and an NIL deal with TurboTax immediately after the game. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and you want to know what he's.
That's what
Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
NIL is for. NIL isn't for all this, like, oh, Meechie Johnson's going to enter the portal and see how much he'll get paid. NIL is so, like, TurboTax can give an accountant, 10 grand to make an app. Like, that's why they did.
I'm pretty sure Gehlke won Cracker of the Day. That's a huge honor
He
for
said that
him.
was he said that was the best part on the Pat McAfee. He said that was the best part of the game last night. It wasn't winning. It was that he won Cracker of the Day via AB. Can't make that shit.
You want to know a fun fact about Gehlke? He
Yeah.
knocked off Tyler Herro in high school state championship.
Oh shit. In
He
like an
did.
AAU?
Now in their state final, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
And Tyler Herro has been in the league for what, 7 years
Yeah, exactly.
now?
He's like a
There's
near veteran.
actually another. This is not Coach Campy's first guy that does this. There's another guy, his last name was like Hooper or something, like way too obvious, that only took eight twos in his career in like the mid 2000s. So very
Hey,
similar, like eight twos, 200 plus threes.
this shit
Always
works.
gotta do it. Yeah.
Stern always says it. Can you just get one guy who can shoot 40% and make threes? You'll
Yeah.
win games.
Well, I know who can't. Wade Taylor. That's for
Yeah.
fucking sure.
I mean, you clearly want to get to it already if you're biting the bullet. So, idiot of the week. So many we could go to, but Matthew Stern, take the floor.
This man thought he was playing basketball in his driveway, and a fucking NBA scout was gonna drive by and like give him a contract. Down four with 30 seconds left. He literally pulled up from half court. That's not even to mention he was 5 for 25 and like 6 for 11 at the free throw line with 7 turnovers. But down four with an opportunity to go to the Sweet 16, and he just pulled up from half court. Whatever. Good for that man. All I know is if I were on that team, I would not let that man leave the locker room. I'd be like, you fucking sold on whatever.
And
Yeah.
that wasn't the first one either. Like, he was taking ridiculous shots all game, bad shot. He was 5 for 27.
He just kept shooting, except
So,
he's
yeah.
John Starks, except John Starks, when he just kept fucking shooting, was an NBA player that was in the finals. This is Wade Taylor on Texas A&M, who's a future insurance salesman. Like, stop fucking shooting.
Yeah. What I think what's cool about that game is you had Wade Taylor, everyone was in on Texas A&M for the upset. Stephen A. Smith had Texas A&M in their Final Four. Dumb pick, but they were
What the
right
fuck is that
there.
about?
I don't know. They had it. They were there. Houston had four players foul out. One starter on the court. Their top three scorers all out. And Ryan Elvin, who is a walk-on senior, now a
Who very
scholarship.
well is going to be working at a car dealership in the next year and a half.
Yeah, who I want to try and get on this podcast to tell us what it was like. He in enters the game. He's played like 10 minutes all year. Enters the game, fouled immediately. Game on the line after Wade Taylor is just an idiot and drains one of two free throws. I think he put Houston up four at the time, and that was all she wrote. But that was, I just got to give a quick shout out to Ryan Elvin, because
Yeah, I mean, on that note too, I think Shark and Shedd like deserve all the flowers. I mean, Jamal Shedd willed his team to that win. He was playing with four fouls. He didn't pick up a fifth when his teammates started to pick up their fifth foul. A&M shot 45 free throws, I think, and Shedd, play after play, the hop step to score in overtime, the put back dunk. I mean, he was unbelievable.
yeah, those
I
moves were
think
tough.
they're obviously guys like Edie, like Clarion, that are huge difference makers, but I think it's hard to say you want anyone else, running the point guard and leading your team than Jamal Shedd.
Fucking Edie. Oh my God.
Incredible. But Mike, over to you. Idiot of the week.
Okay, well, I'm gonna make myself idiot of the week for picking Baylor as my winner. Was never gonna happen. I thought I was on top of it, thought I would be a genius, and now I'm the idiot. But more so, Jacoby Walter, dude. I mean, they had no business coming back in that game. You switched momentum, forcing turnovers and bad shots. Clemson was collectively shitting themselves horrendously, and all you have to do is make one of the two free throws. We live for another possession. It'll be fine, dude. Bricks both. All the air goes out of the building. Bailey loses. I lose. And I'll never recover. So he's just a kid. We're not gonna, he's probably what, 18, 19 years old. We're not gonna go too hard on Jacoby, but he's dead to me forever.
But just some context on Jacoby Walter for a second. For the entire game, he was 5 for 11 from the line. This kid was an 81% free throw shooter the entire year.
And a top five draft pick, potentially.
And then you got the guy, I don't remember his name on Clemson, but the 56% people share that, like, they can't.
Godfrey.
The
RJ
RJ Godfrey, yeah.
Yep.
RJ Godfrey. I mean, good for him, but.
Hey, some people are clutch.
Can I just give one more idiot of the week real quick? There's a guy on Utah State named Carson Templin. If anyone was watching,
Oh man, I hate that guy.
he had the single worst 4-minute stretch in tournament history.
That was, oh
You saw it too? You saw it too?
man. Yo, I was sitting here on my couch with our friend Jordan, and we were like, let's have a little fun with this. Let's take Utah State first half money line. They go into the under eight. up 1 point. We're like, all right, we're into it. Next thing we know, Edie picks up a foul right after the under eight. So I was like, all right, let's try and get Edie to pick up a second. It'll be good for the first half. He'll sit and our bet will hit. Next thing I know, this guy fucking Templin fouls 3 times in a row, goes at Edie 3 times in a row. You are
Misses all of his shots, misses all four of his shots.
And it wasn't even like they were close shots. It was like, I'm going to go 100 miles an hour right at Zach Edey and throw it off the backboard. Like, it wasn't, it was fucking mind-boggling. You're a freshman in an NCAA tournament game, and you're only playing because half your team is in foul trouble. And next thing you know, Purdue's up 45.
At 6'8", 201 pounds, as a freshman, he thought he could body Zach Edey at the rim and lay it in over him.
Yo, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I just.
I a similar vein, and I hate to do this because I love mid-majors and I love this kid, but Ali Khalifa on Thursday gets lost
Oh.
because we just lost the last two games. I mean, first of all, BYU needs to win that game. Illinois beat Duquesne by 50. Very similarly, Ali Khalifa, 0 for 6 from the field, took 4 threes, missed all of them. Two turnovers, looked uncomfortable with the ball. He's a center, and he had 2 rebounds. He had 0 points and he had 1 assist.
Yeah, idiot.
I mean, not as dumb as Templin, but I like that's my idiot of the week. I mean, along with the whole BYU team.
Yeah, all right. And I'll round off idiot of the week with three people. It's mostly two, but I'm throwing KJ Simpson as the third. But John L. Davis on FAU and Jermaine Cousinard, great player. But you are the idiot of the week, both of you, and KJ Simpson as well. To go through the context, we had tie games at the end of regulation. Both teams, Oregon and Florida Atlantic, had the ball with 7, 8 seconds left. And these bozos think there's 4 minutes on the clock and start walking up the court. Walking, walking, walking. And next thing you know, there's 2 seconds left and they're at half court and they take one more step and pull up. And miss, and both their teams end up losing the game. You have, and KJ Simpson, it was a 4-point game with 8 seconds left, and he didn't even get a shot off. At least, like, just try and get a layup. But John L. Davis and Jermaine Cousinard, you have 8 seconds, go to the hole, get a layup, and get a foul. Don't, it wasn't even, I don't even know how to describe it. They just walked. They walked. Run, run. You have 7 seconds.
I couldn't tell you Kusnag, but John Davis has done that so many times in the past, has attacked and scored. Like as the game's about to end, he's attacked and scored. He's found space in the middle. He's, drawn two defenders and given it to Vlad Williams. I've watched him win games in the last possession like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was watching.
I was like, give the man the ball and go score because he's the best scorer. But he fucking walked. He walked and then they lost. And you deserve to lose. And you are my idiot of the week. Ridiculous. To go into more bad shit, let's run into some bad beats. Stern, I know you got a terrible one.
Yeah, I was I actually I wasn't watching this game, but I saw it on Twitter, and I'm sure there were plenty of people out there that had some action in the South Carolina Oregon game, and what I saw was nasty. The first half over under was 68, was sitting at 66 with about 1.2 seconds left, where I forget who on South Carolina chucks it up from about three quarter court, banks it right in. The over cash is 69 from about three quarter court with a second left. And that's just not the mojo you want to start your Thursday with 56 hours of college basketball ahead. Like it's hard enough. You can't have that. So for all the people out there that had that, I feel for you.
The dark
There
side
was
of
a
March.
Talon Cooper.
Talon Cooper, henchman.
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 Mike, bad beat of the week.
Yeah, Nevada. I mean, come on, guys. We thought they were going to do it for the Mountain West, and they did Mountain West things. Up 20 with 7 minutes left, I think. 24-4 run to end the game. I don't know how 24-4 happens. Miserable. That was when I knew that it was over for my bracket and for college basketball. But Dayton got what they deserved, and they lost to Arizona, so we move.
Yeah, my bad beat of the week goes to the people who took Arizona. Fourth game of the day on Thursday, starting your day off right. Two seed versus 15, spread was 20.5. Let's fast forward all the way to the end of the game. You have Arizona up 21, I believe. And Jeffrey Yan, who is a walk-on senior from China. 6'9 center, walk-on senior from China. Spread was 20 and a half. This guy goes and hits a free throw. It might have been his first point all year. I couldn't tell you. But Jeffrey Yan hits a free throw. Arizona comes down the court with a minute left and misses a layup. And you wonder who's defending the guy who shot the ball? None other than Jeffrey Yan. Long Beach Lakers rebound. Useless, nothing happens, and game over. Arizona does not cover. Jeffrey Yan, either a hero or a villain to many. Zach, last but not least, bad beat of the week.
And I'll stay in the same even quarter four game series of that bracket, Arizona and Dayton. I don't know if you can classify this as a bad beat either way. All I know is I was at brunch watching the game, and I had a good friend of mine constantly texting about what was going on in that game and the 9.5 point spread. It was, let's see, 9 points after Daron Holmes and one with 2:14 to go. Daron Holmes fouls. Kelly Larson misses a try out of the one. Turnover, steal, foul on Arizona. Dayton gets it to seven. Now you're like, okay, 9.5. They'll get the two free throws. We'll go from there. That happens. Then there's another foul. Then they make it 11. Then there's a layup for Dayton. Then they make it 11 again. So at this point, we're just going back and forth through the spread. 22 seconds left. Kobe Elvis makes a layup. It's a 9 point game. You got to just let the game die. It's a 9 point game. There's 22 seconds left. It's over. Back off. Dayton betters win. And instead, they foul. But then Caleb Love misses the first. So there's still a chance for the cover. Makes the second. And then one of the worst sequences of all time. Missed layup. Then went out of bounds. And it's still 10. Dayton needs 2 points to cover. And one of the worst inbound sets I've ever watched. They turn it over. And then they finally back off with 10 seconds. And downtown. And that is how Dayton failed to cover. I've seen that too many times where teams just play through spread, and then they lose. The good friend I was referencing was Matt Stern, who was less than thrilled, but I thought that was one of the worst beats of the week.
Yeah, and there were a lot of them, but those are just a few.
Yeah, I mean, just to add, if I could. I don't see anything wrong with the team knowing the spread before the game tips. I think that there's absolutely honor in losing and covering. The old adage, good teams win, great teams cover. Look, Dayton, you know you suck. At least do it for the people back home. Everyone banged your spread, and now you have to go home a loser, and you cost everyone money. I don't get it. We could play two games at once here, you know?
You want to know who did know their spreads? Jontay Porter, this just came out. Player for the Raptors. Supposedly betting against himself. Faked an eye injury once and left the game early with a sickness so his own personal unders could hit on himself that he bet. Idiot. He might be an idiot too.
And I mean,
Asshole. Asshole.
I saw a comment that said like the only reason his props are even up is a sting operation to catch him betting winners. Like there is no other reason that that man has prop lines on any other book other than to say, all right, are this guy's friends betting on Raptors games? Like if he's betting on Raptors games, like how are we gonna catch him? put his line up and let's see what he does.
You
It's a
know
good
who
point.
was definitely betting on Jonte Porter props? Shohei Ohtani's interpreter.
Another asshole. All right. Moving forward. Starting Thursday night, 7:09. Again, I don't know what we're doing here. Why are we putting the East Coast games after the West Coast games?
Oh, Dan Hurley is just pissed.
Why are we starting East Coast games at 7:39 and the second game starting at 10 p.m.? So people are ending East Coast games at 1 a.m. I don't get it. Whatever. We've got Sweet 16 coming up now. We're going to give quick rundown of who we like in each of these games. Quick little preview. Let's start with the East bracket with UConn minus 10.5 against San Diego State in a rematch of the 2023 National Championship. UConn won by 17 last year, I think. It wasn't particularly close. And in my opinion, I don't think this will be close either. The line started at 8.5. It's up to 10.5, and it will keep on moving up because UConn might win by 50. Ladie is great on San Diego State, but other than that, UConn's a wagon. Anyone else have any opinions on this game?
Don't even think about it, Zach. Don't even
I
think about it.
mean, as a resident mid-major, I think you can be, idiotic about this. But we were saying Auburn could give them a run, whatever, whatever. Auburn then lost to Yale, and San Diego State pounded them. The one thing I will say is San Diego State hit their threes against them. They're not the same defensive quality that UConn is going to bring, but like if they can hit their threes. Well, D is going to be a matchup problem. I could see SDSU cover.
Okay.
Maybe getting the heart rate up a little bit for you.
The only way San Diego State gets the heart rate up for UConn is if Matt Bradley, Keyshawn Johnson, Nathan Mensah, and Adam Sekou walk through the door and suit up. And is that happening?
And they lost by 17.
Well, I will say SDSU is redshirting a kid who looks a lot like Nathan Mensah right now. I saw some of his clips.
If
If they
you
decide to
think,
wave the if they decide to wave the redshirt and let this kid come in, maybe we have one of the four.
Jay Powell might be one of the worst basketball players I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's a cool
Yeah, I
name.
said this the other day. If Dutcher found someone, that was really good at basketball in the transfer portal, like he could have instead of Jay Powell, they could be really competitive, but yeah, that was a swing and a miss.
I saw another interesting thing. SDSU has made Sweet 16 like a few different times since I think it was 2014. And as a five seed or better, and they've only beaten one single digit seed. Last year, Furman and some other 12 seed,
Charleston.
Charleston. This year, Yale and UAB. Like they're,
Yeah. I mean, look,
they deserve it. You get who you get. That's all you can say.
it happens time to time, and I saw that tweet too. And it's a little bit discounting of the fact that they then like beat Bama with Clowney and Brandon Miller,
Totally,
and then they
obviously.
beat Creighton last year, and then I mean FAU, whatever, but like they beat Bama last year just because it was after the Sweet 16, doesn't it?
Yes, but it was just interesting to see how they got there. All right, and then moving on to the last game in the East, which I think, in my opinion, is the most fascinating game of the Sweet 16. Illinois versus Iowa State. Iowa State favored by 1.5. You are going with a top three offense in the country versus a top three defense in the country. It's like mind-boggling. I'm trying to get a read on this game all weekend. I don't know who the hell to take. I don't know who the hell I think is going to win. It's going to be sick. It's going to be, I think, fast-paced, but offense wins sometimes and defense wins other times, and it'll be like stretches where no one will score, runs where everyone will score. I really can't get a read on it, and it's frustrating to me because I guess it's not frustrating. I'm excited, but we'll be there in Boston. It'll be cool, but yeah. Anyone ha think offense or defense wins here?
Illinois.
Illinois.
I saw a thing that said the last four times like top two have met and they split. So and it is a toss-up.
That doesn't help anyone either.
Nope.
Illinois is so good, and I think Iowa State's overrated.
I completely agree, and I would also like to point out that since Terrence Shannon returned from his whatever you want to call it, he's averaging almost 30 points a game on 51% from the field and 39% from three.
Yeah, I give a little, I give a little less credence to that, based on the last like 4 games, is we're saying, okay, now they're a wagon. They beat Nebraska, scored 98, but A&M scored almost 100 against them too. They beat Wisco, who then just lost to JMU, who just pounded, and they beat Morehead State and Duquesne. I teams people seem to love them. Iowa State's beaten much better competition over the same stretch. Killed Baylor, killed Houston. South Dakota State obviously is a Washington, beat Washington State. So I don't know. Illinois is putting up points, but I think Iowa State's beating better teams. I wouldn't count out Iowa State.
Yeah, it's just when you look at the non-conference and you look at two of the best defenses that Illinois has played, Purdue is its own entity in the Big Ten, but I'm looking at Marquette, and this was at Illinois, I believe, and Illinois put up 64 points and lost 71-64. And then against Tennessee, who's kind of good defense, pretty good defense, Illinois lost 86-79. So those are just the games. They beat the FAU, who's a really good offensive team. Purdue, again, forget Purdue, but I don't know. It's interesting to see when they face those top-tier defenses. It's been tough, but hey, they're the best offense in the country as of late. So I don't know. It's a fascinating one to me. 10 p.m. tip-off, Boston. Place is gonna be rocking. And
If you're a UConn fan, as a UConn fan, who would you rather see?
oh, that's a tough question, man. I don't know. I don't really care, if I'm gonna be honest. Maybe Illinois, because I think UConn has a great defense and can slow them down a little. Plus, they score just as much, and Illinois can't defend. Iowa State at least slows the game down, and if they get control of the tempo and slow down some of UConn's motion, then it's a tougher game. But again, UConn will outscore Iowa State, and UConn will defend Illinois. So,
Sounds like Illinois needs Hunter Dickinson to lock down their defense in the middle.
terrible. That was some of the worst defense I've seen in a minute. Same with Creighton, though, against Oregon until the last 2 minutes of the game. But that is my East rundown. Mike, over to you with the West.
Okay, well, we have UNC Bama. I guess a strong 1-4 matchup there. I mean, I think UNC is going to win by about 47 points, but I guess we'll find out if Bama can play defense or they might have to score 120 points to win. Yeah, I feel pretty good about UNC. Does anyone have thoughts?
How good is UNC on defense? I know they like score, but like how good are they actually on defense? Does anyone know?
Why does it matter when Alabama's fucking horrible?
I can tell you.
Because if Bama could score 100 points against them,
Bama hasn't scored 100 points against a team of actual varsity athletes since like mid-2000s.
Yeah. I mean,
UNC is sixth in the country, just.
okay. That's impressive. But right, it's I'm just intrigued because can you outscore a top four team in the country? I don't know. But I think that's the only way Bama could win. Because whatever the hell that game was against GCU, I don't want to, they only gave up 60 points, but they didn't play defense. That was, every player might have been on drugs that game. It was just fucking chaos on a court. And GCU
Yeah,
didn't run
but
an offense, so.
exactly though. UNC doesn't think they're in an AAU tournament, and they're all half drunk while playing. Like UNC's got a bunch of old men who know what they're doing. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I turned that game on after Clemson Baylor, and I was like, "We're watching a different sport here. This is not. This cannot be two games in the same tournament. That was ridiculous."
I even switched off the UConn game once they went up a bit to just focus on that because that was just idiotic basketball, but awesome. It was like, it felt like you were just in a cage watching these people go back and forth.
Ray Ray Harrison has an IQ of zero.
No one had an IQ in
It
that game. It was just chaos. What's the
was
ending?
one the center, maybe not center, the forward GCU actually I thought played like pretty well. Made like a
Grant
sub.
Foster? No,
No, no, no.
McLaughlin.
No,
McLaughlin.
I thought McLaughlin. I thought he played pretty well. He was the only guy who was like, oh, maybe I'll slow the game down once or twice.
Yeah, and Sears. They're the
But
only two real basketball players.
yeah, other than that, it's fucking disaster.
I'm just like, don't you learn how to grab a ball and hold on to a ball? I thought
Yeah.
that's like the first drill you do in sports is like, grab it, hold it, don't let someone swipe it. They're like,
The amount of strips in that game.
someone would get a rebound and next, and the possession changed. Every true possession, the possession changed four times.
Do we want to talk about turnovers? Did you watch Utah State?
Fuck them.
Okay, can we stay with the teams that are still alive, please?
Oh my
We're
God.
talking about Grand Canyon and Utah State again.
Good point. All right. Hit me with it.
Okay. The other game in the West region is Clemson, Arizona. I think for all of you ACC haters out there, Clemson has proven that they're the real deal and they deserve to be here. And I'm not just saying that because they beat Baylor. I'm saying that because they look good. I think this is more about Arizona is going to show us if they are as good as we thought they were or perhaps fraudulent. I think Arizona still probably comes away with this, but I will say I do think that two ACC teams will be alive after this week or after this next round. So maybe Clemson.
Do we want to see a UNC Clemson Elite Eight? That doesn't sound too enjoyable.
RJ Davis versus Caleb Love, though.
The thing about Clemson though is they're kind of built really well.
They
Like
have a great starting five. I
yeah,
love
like
it.
if you look at the starting five and what each of them offer, like Hunter is your true point guard that like leads the offense. Gerard can fucking shoot. Hall's the stud. Shefflin's the clown in the middle, the like DJ Burns, but 35 pounds lighter. And Jack Clark is like the Andre Jackson, like the like can score a little bit but does everything else. Like they have a very good starting five.
Yeah, I mean they went from a, I think they were a six seed last year when they got spanked, but they just brought in all ACC player and Joe Girard to
The biggest
score
asshole
more.
in college basketball.
Yeah, but to score more, and then everyone else got better, and they brought everyone back. It's like a very well built team, but Mike, I think you're right. It's like, can Arizona just be better than Clemson, or is Clemson good and is Arizona not as good as we think?
I think it's actually a sleeping Arizona's defense a little bit. Those guys are good, but I think they Arizona can lock them up. Guys like Gerard, I think, might have a tough touch today.
Yeah, I mean Arizona has the better players round the clock, but should be a good Sweet 16 over out on the West Coast. Zach, give us the Midwest breakdown.
Yeah, I think the Midwest is one of the more exciting regions, Purdue and Gonzaga. The discourse over this game, the way it changed from, the talking heads was really, really funny. Gonzaga put the hurt on Kansas, and after the game, people were saying, oh, Purdue's guards can't hang with them, Gonzaga's gonna win. I mean, everyone who knew college basketball knew that wasn't true. Purdue's guards have been lights out this year. And then Purdue spanked Utah State, and the discourse was, all right, Gonzaga now has no chance. I think the actual answer falls somewhere in between. I think Gonzaga runs the best pick and roll in the country. I think Nembhard, I would probably take as my point guard in this game. I think he's the most experienced, and I think, you saw that against Kansas. And I would take Mark Few over Matt Painter. I don't think that's really controversial. You saw the halftime adjustments against Kansas, and they came out and boat raced them in the second half. The problem is Zach Edey and everyone else. I think Purdue's the more talented team. I think they're analytically the better team. I think they'll probably come away with the win. I will say I have Gonzaga in my bracket, so I'll be rooting for them. But yeah, I'll be interested to see. Purdue's lost the last couple of years because of a 5-man that can shoot. So I think we might see a heavy dependence on Gonzaga running two forwards, running Greg and EK, trying to get Edie onto Greg and then pull him away from the basket with Ben Greg. I don't know if Purdue has the guy that can cover Greg on the inside. So if Edie sticks with EK, then Greg might have his way in the post. I don't know. I think it's two really good coaches. I think it'll be a really good game. I'd still take Purdue.
Yeah, this game's also really interesting to me. The one thing that keeps sticking in my mind is I think Ike is one of the better centers that Purdue's going to face against Edie, and I think he's actually could hold his own. The one issue is you saw...
Is he better than Osabor, though?
Yeah, but Osabor is the entire offense. Like, it didn't... it's like a different beast. And the few times Gonzaga struggled in recent, after this like half stretch, especially against St. Mary's, is when Ike got into foul trouble early. And then Saxon and St. Mary's rolled him, and they went inside. Because once you get Ike out with two fouls against Edie, then Craig can't guard Edie, Huff can't guard Edie. Like, then that's when your whole game changes if you're Gonzaga. Dickinson
yeah,
didn't
I
really
mean,
get foul trouble on anyone, played outside, so.
I also think, though, I mean, I think Ike sat, actually. Ike did have 2 fouls in the first half against Kansas.
And it was tied.
He sat most first half, and it was tied, exactly. I will say, the two teams played earlier in the year. Back then, Greg was not in the starting lineup and only played 19 minutes. Gonzaga was winning at half and then shot 0 of 13 from 3 in the second half and ends up losing by 10.
And a different Gonzaga team. Interesting.
Right. I think this will be a really good game. Gonzaga's probably their best basketball of the season. Again, though, we talk about Purdue being in another tier. So, I mean, let's see it. Let's see if they go out and have their way in this game. Moving on to the nightcap, Creighton and Tennessee. This is one of the best games in the tournament, and I think Creighton's going to win it. And the reason I think that is because Tennessee has one guy who right now can score the basketball. That's Dalton Knecht. And if he's cold, they're in huge trouble. Creighton has four. Creighton has Ashworth, Shireman, Alexander, and Kalkbrenner. You get two of those guys going, you find the hot hand, you feed the hot hand. And they have every advantage over a Tennessee team with a cold Dalton Knecht, who's been cold the past few games. The loss in the SEC tournament against Mississippi State, they scored 56 and he was cold. You know, Texas game, he was cold, they only scored 62 points. I just think Creighton's going to have his full run. I think that, I mean, if there was a play of the week, I think Creighton plus the 2.5.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Creighton's legit. Creighton's legit. Tennessee's proven they can play some defense, but I don't know. I might agree with you. I might lean Creighton here.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games where you looked at the bracket and your first time through it, you probably had these two and you were like, oh, God, you know, how am I meant to pick that one? And I think it'll be super close. I would probably go Tennessee.
Stern, any opinion?
As somebody that's got Creighton in the final, I'll always go with the team that I think can score. I think Kalkbrenner is sort of the X factor on the floor. I think he can win them the matchup in the paint, and I think that Creighton just has more guys on the perimeter that can score than Tennessee. Obviously, Connect is amazing, but I don't trust Ziegler. I don't trust Vescovi. I don't trust any of the other Tennessee guys to score enough to keep up with Creighton. So we'll see. I think it'll come down to who has the ball last.
Yeah, the one additional thing I would say is rebounding is going to be huge. I mean, we watched the Creighton-Oregon game. They didn't even try to get offensive rebounds, whereas it's built into Tennessee's philosophy to send everyone other than Max and Ziegler to the glass. So I think if Creighton can, I mean, again, these are conditionals, and I hate conditionals, but, like, Creighton needs to control the glass. If they do that, they win the game.
I mean, they're in the Big East, so
yeah.
They're prone to other teams crashing the glass. But can I, quick thing on Vescovy. I've seen this dude in college basketball for God knows how long. It feels like Perry Ellis at this point, where he's just continually here. And does he not get worse every single year? I thought he was like great 2-3 years ago, and I haven't. Every time I see him, he just bricks 2 threes and then goes out of the game.
Yeah, he was their scorer before Connect. He was like the guy that was supposed to get going.
He sucks. He's like 25. But yeah, that's that on that. Stern, over to you. Final region, hit us with the South.
I think the first game in the South is Friday, the early game, where you have Marquette versus NC State, which I think this is the end of the road for the fighting DJ Burnses. I think he can only carry you so far, and I think that there is a huge difference between Trey Townsend and Oso Iguodoro. I don't see it. I think that NC State is okay. I think they have some decent players, but Cam Jones, Joplin, Kolick, Iguodoro, Ross, Gold, Marquette is just so deep that I don't see how NC State beats Marquette at their own game. Like, the only way that NC State would have a chance is if it's a low-scoring game, and I just don't see how that's possible. As Marquette showed against Colorado, they can score with the best of them. So, you know, I think Marquette is just too talented and too deep for a team that wasn't even supposed to be here in the first place. Not sure if you guys agree or not.
I completely agree. I will add the discourse around Marquette is at Oso, and I truthfully, I was playing baseball during their game Sunday, and I didn't watch it, and I didn't watch the 15-2 game, but the discourse around Oso is that he's been non-existent and looks like scared out there. I don't know if you guys are in agreement with that assessment.
Disagree, because he's also the third best player on the team. And if you got a center who can dribble and make a floater when needed, because he hit some floaters when needed this past week against Colorado, like just some big necessary shots with some good rebounds. And I don't know, he carried that team, him and Cam Jones, in the BE's tournament. And
well, the only thing that I'm going to add, and I will stand by this, Cam Jones is the best player on that team. They go as he goes.
I mean, if you go back to when Marquette really earned their ranking, which is beating Illinois, which is at Maui, where they beat UCLA and then Kansas, and they played pretty tight. Oso was the best player on the court in the tournament.
Hold on. What? Say that again, Stern.
Cam Jones is the best player on the team. They go.
Okay. I mean, Kolek's a reigning Big East player of the year. And
that's totally fine. And he is probably the best left-hand layup finisher and best passer in the Big East. But Marquette goes as Cam Jones goes. Every time Cam Jones went out of the game on Sunday, Colorado came back. Every time Cam Jones was back in the game, they extended their lead back out. Cam Jones was in foul trouble all game. He picked up 3 fouls in the first half.
I don't want to like get into this because Cam Jones is incredible. I don't want to like put anything past him. I have Marquette in the finals. But Kolick put up 21 points, 11 assists, and 5 rebounds. And you can't blame a guy for making lefty layups, which is his best shot. That's like if LeBron made 15 fadeaways from his typical like step back, because that was his shot and he could get whatever he wanted. You can't blame a guy for getting his shot. It's like what he's supposed to do.
I mean, I'd also like to point out that Kolek had 21, 11, and 5 in 40 minutes, and Cam Jones had 18, 4, and 1 in 24 minutes.
Yeah, like, Cam Jones is great, but
they go as he goes.
I think it's a crazy, crazy fucking claim that he's the best player in Marquette. But all things aside, I got Marquette in the finals. Okay. Hit me with, I agree, I think Marquette wins, but anyone else have opinions of this game or move on to another best game of the weekend?
Come on, Mike, let's hear it.
All right, I think Marquette's going to win. I think they're incredible, but I do think it would be the funniest thing ever if Shaka Smart got bounced by NC State.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd need it. I need it so bad. But yeah, I mean, I don't really see. I think NC State's been great and they had fun and now they're gonna die.
And then for the final game of the Sweet 16, we have the fighting Jared McCain's, the fighting TikTok Jared McCain's versus the grown men that are the Houston Cougars. And my initial honest take is I don't think Jared McCain, I don't think Tyrese Proctor, I don't think Kyle Filipowski, I don't think Mark Mitchell have seen anything close to what is coming with Francis, Sharp, Shed, Cryer, and who's the fifth guy, Zach?
Roberts.
Roberts. I don't think they've seen anything close to it. And I think Houston's going to be up in Jared McCain's face all game, begging him to put the ball on the floor. Meanwhile, JMU is like, just take whatever shot you want. And I think they're going to have a really tough time scoring, the same way they had a really tough time scoring against UNC both games. I think that this is like going from JV to varsity. I this is as much of a step up in competition as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw what they did to Wade Taylor. He scored 25 on 8 of 14 shooting against Nebraska. You saw what you could put shot on a guy and just neutralize. So I think they can take McCain out of the game. I also think they're going to have another week to get Ramon Walker back to health. I think Damian Dunn and Malik Wilson are playing their best basketball of the season. So I think the knock on Houston was the depth now with Arsenault out, with Ugler out. They had, five guys. But if you get Ramon Walker back and healthy and you get big contributions again from Malik Wilson and Damian Dunn, I think they're as good as anyone.
I agree. And
I don't.
Ryan Elvin. What about the Ryan Elvin effect? How can he be
I heard he makes a mean like sauce or something.
Hell
Maybe he'll
yeah.
be chefing this week.
Ryan Elvin, 6'2", 169 pounds.
Beat Texas Santa.
Jesus Christ. I will say, if I can make my Duke pitch, two guys that you need to watch in this game are Mark Mitchell and Sean Stewart, because those are the guys that exist on the team for the purpose of you might have to play Houston at the end of the year. And I agree with you, Filipowski's soft. Proctor's probably soft. Jared McCain's definitely soft. But if your two power forwards in the first half get after them and show the rest of them that they don't need to be scared, then your shooters get into it and we can make this a game in the second half. It's going to be tough, but Duke is talented and Houston does. I mean, I could very well see them doing that thing where they score like 4 points in 12 minutes and then we're wondering why Houston lost again.
Yeah, I mean you I think you said it best. Duke's playing with house money for the first time, maybe ever. So Houston's expected to win. Duke's supposed to get probably railed and score 50 points, but they've got the history, so let's see if they're back.
Yeah, I mean, they're 6th in CanPom right now. They're as dangerous teams.
Yeah.
CanPom out the door when KenPom darling Auburn couldn't beat the nerds from Connecticut.
I mean, you're saying that. Look at who's left.
Yeah, it's literally the only team not in. There's 16 teams left. 14. You're literally. It's ranked 1 through 14 in KenPom are all still left except Auburn.
Yeah, but
And then
that's
you have
not
16 and
because
like
everyone
20.
else is mediocre. But is everybody else mediocre? Like, probably.
Probably they are. Yeah, it's all chalk right now.
Well, now you can say that they're not in the Sweet 16, but they weren't mediocre a week ago.
Virginia, I mean, yeah, Virginia is not a good example, but like, you know, there just felt like in the field this year, there was just a lot of mediocre.
Yeah, but the best teams won. And KenPom
Sure.
showed they were the best, except Auburn. Dumb. All right, 16 teams left. Everyone. Re-up your Final Four and championship picks. Mike, I'll send it over to you first.
Okay. Let's go Houston, Tennessee. If Tennessee beats Creighton, I think they beat Purdue too. Houston, Tennessee, UNC, Illinois.
Okay, and champion.
Oh, Christ. I'm not, I don't want to say UNC. I'll go Houston.
Okay, I've got the UConn Huskies. I've got, I don't even know who the hell to take, but I'm going to say Arizona just for the fun of it, because I think they have an easier matchup this week. Or in the first round here. Other side of the bracket, I'm going Marquette. And I'm really tough deciding between Creighton and Purdue right now. But hey, let's have a Big East Final Four. Even though I would love to see a UConn versus Purdue matchup, because I think that's the two best teams going at it. But I'll say Creighton. I'll say UConn Marquette in the finals, with UConn winning it all. Back-to-back champs. Lock it in. Sack.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the point that I took at the start of the tournament. UConn, Houston, Arizona.
Champion.
I'm less confident now than I was. I'm excited to see Ramon Walker play next week. I'm gonna stick with this.
Let's turn round us up.
I think obviously UConn. I think UNC. I think I'm going to stick by my Creighton pick in the Midwest, and in the South, I'm going to go Houston. And then my champion is I think you're kidding yourself if you're not taking UConn. Just they play a different sport than everybody else. The sets, the speed, the defense, the effort, the whole thing. It's just different.
I mean, want to talk about Greeny's comment this morning that UConn could make the play-in in
I mean, that's the most
the
ridiculous thing I've ever heard. They would go 0-82 if they played NBA, if they played the NBA right now.
Hey, they might beat the Wizards.
No, they wouldn't. They would go 0-82.
Yeah, but yeah, it is a different sport. They just look miles and miles and miles better than everyone.
They do. I need to see UConn against Iowa State. I need to see if they can be thrown off their game by whatever Iowa State's gonna bring. I mean, I don't know if UConn's played any of those teams yet that really, really upset what you try to do and do that well. I
Bitch
don't think
slap
the
North Carolina up and down the court.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, but North Carolina is not known for, you know, the ball pressure and stuff that Iowa State is. I don't think Iowa State beats UConn, but I think it's a good primer to see if, you know, Houston can upset UConn's movement and stuff like
Here,
that.
I'm curious about this. Do you think if we get there in a Final Four, a Purdue versus Houston matchup, who do you guys have?
I would stick with Houston. Although the foul trouble thing against A&M scared the shit out of me, I think Houston's guards would scare the shit out of Lawrence.
Yeah, but who the hell is doing anything
I
with
don't know.
UD?
I think it's an idea of can Kelvin Sampson find a way to prevent those post touches, and I think maybe he can. I think the way that they just fly to the ball, like that ball gets into Edie, he will have four guys around him. You know, I
Yeah.
don't know. I think it'll be. That's what's good that there are no upsets this year. This is all going to happen. This is all going to play out. We're going to see all.
Yeah, and we're going to see the hopefully Elite Eight of all 1 and 2 seeds, which would be, or 1, 2, and 3 seeds, which would be incredible.
That Houston would be the worst matchup for Edie in the field. I can guarantee that. As a big man, you do not want to play. You don't want to play a team that has four or five big dogs. And they're willing to foul all of them out just to kill you. He doesn't want it. He'd rather go like against
The
Klingon and try to beat him 1-on-1. I'm
thing,
telling you, he would
like.
be fucking terrified.
Everyone says, like, oh, who's the center that can match up with Edie? Maybe it's not a center.
Yeah, maybe
Maybe you
it's.
don't need a center to match up with
Hey,
him. You just need to gang him.
that's how FDU beat them. This
Right.
bunch of 6'3" guys.
I mean, who's Purdue's losses this year? They lost to Northwestern. They don't really have a center. Who else did they lose to?
That's not how Purdue loses, though. Purdue loses on off shooting nights and turning the ball over.
And what is Houston like known for forcing?
No, I mean, I agree, but Edie's gonna get his 25 and 10 no matter what you do.
That's fair. I mean, Nebraska doesn't have a big man really. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right. I want to round this episode off with giving the people a lock of the day for Thursday and Friday after seeing the Reese Davis controversy where he provided a, does anyone have the exact phrase, but a risk-free investment in,
Which is bullshit.
he provided a quote, risk-free investment in the UConn versus Northwestern game. He said the Northwestern under is a risk-free investment. Ended up hitting, but ESPN made him come out and say there is no such thing as a risk-free investment in betting. So, take this all with a grain of salt, but let's all take a lock of the day in the Sweet 16. I will start it off with UConn minus 10.5 against San Diego State. I don't really understand how the line gets. I mean, I guess I do understand it, but that line's going to keep going up. They're going to dominate. They roll through the tournament. They beat SDSU in the biggest game of the year last year in the national championship. They won by 17. UConn got arguably better. SDSU got worse. UConn 10.5, book it. Mike, lock the day.
Purdue minus 5.5. Gonzaga blows. They're going to get exposed. It's going to be a massacre.
That was a good. Did that rhyme? Blows, exposed. No, I guess not. But that sounded good. Zach,
Nice.
lock the day.
Yeah, definitely a risky investment, but I'll take Houston. I think recency bias is a big thing. You just blew the doors off of JMU. Houston looked really shaky against Texas A&M. So I think that line's too small. I think it should probably be six. So I would take this.
And Stern, round us off.
Before I give that, I just want to read a tweet that was just sent to me that I don't even think you three would be able to believe. From College Basketball Stats You'd Never Believe. Duke has not beaten a higher seeded team since 1994.
I mean, they're a one seed often.
Can you
But
believe that?
that's what is the year?
1994. The last time Duke beat a higher seed was 1994. Since then, they're 0-5 against higher seeded teams.
was it like UNLV or some wild team that they beat?
2003 versus number 2 Kansas, they lost. 2013 versus number 1 Louisville, they lost. 2016 versus number 1 Oregon, they lost. 2018 versus number 1 Kansas, they lost. 2023 versus number 4 Tennessee, they lost.
That's
Who did they beat? In 94.
Glenn Robinson, one seeded Purdue in the Elite Eight.
That's crazy.
I just thought that was an absurd
Yeah.
stat for a
I mean,
team
they're
that
also a one
every
seed
single
every
year.
year.
But still, like,
Yeah,
why?
that's a good one.
My pick for the Sweet 16 is I think Creighton beats Tennessee. Straight up.
And before we wrap up here, I want to give a shout out to Kyle Smith. Welcome to the farm. We're happy to have you. Finally, a real basketball coach that wins basketball games. And now I'm watching Twitter, waiting for the notification that Miles Rice and Isaac Jones have entered the portal and are following their coach's name.
Congratulations.
Kyle Smith, Kyle, if you're listening, if you haven't signed the contract yet, there's still time to get out, man. You don't have to do it. Your life doesn't have to end here.
Hey.
I hope Amir is ready to back him. I really do.
He's choosing to travel cross country every
If
single week now.
he can't succeed here, then Stanford will become known as the place our coach is going to die because we just don't get enough support. So.
And Utah State is the place where coaches go to get a high major job. So,
Was that four coaches in 5 years or something like that?
four coaches, 5 years, all within a year or two to a high major.
I
Crazy
saw
stuff.
something crazy. Like they got paid 1.6 million for free coaching because every coach they had got bought out. So those buyouts are they're now plus 1.6 million on their contracts because of buyouts and
Hey.
did not have to pay their coach.
It goes right back to bringing in more transfers with NIL because that's how it works. All right. It's been a pleasure here. Sweet 16 coming up. Enjoy it all. 2 weeks of college hoops left. Let's make the most of it. Quick shout out to Grandma Stern. Heard she's a big listener and a big fan. Wanted to give a big shout out to her. Keep on listening, keep on giving the support. And last but not least, make sure to live life one media timeout at a time. Get through it much faster, much easier, and much happier. Pleasure to be here with you all. Peace and love. See you all next week.